For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We have Andrew Destin, a.k.a. Destiny's Child.
Say my name, say my
there
name.
Yeah, I said his name. Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette. He covers the Pirates. Is he going to be on our monitor here at 93.7 The Fan?
No video today. He is at the All-Star game and unable to provide video today.
All right. Fair enough. Andrew, you can follow his stuff at postgazette.com. First, the important stuff. Were you there last night at the Home Run Derby, and what was your reaction during the anthem?
Yeah, first, thanks for having me on, guys. Yes, I was there at the Home Run Derby yesterday, and my reaction was maybe a little delayed compared to everybody else. I think it was one of those scenarios where you're kind of like, oh, that's a little bit off, but you don't really think too much of it. And then the friend groups from high school start texting, and the ones from college, and then colleagues start texting you, and you realize, oh, this was kind of a bigger deal than I really interpreted in the moment. So, it was not great in person. I guess it wasn't great on TV. And all told, the phone was blowing up a little bit on that one. And it was cool to be there in person for the event otherwise, you know, from about 7:06 p.m. local time onward.
Well, and the thing about it is, we were playing a number of the anthems that were horrible over the course of time, and I think we settled in on that one as about third worst of all time behind Carl Lewis, and who was the other one? Roseanne, maybe?
And Fergie, although I thought Fergie's wasn't that bad, believe it or not.
We have Roseanne Barr's, too. Oh, man, it was bad.
Why don't you play that for Destiny's Child for a moment before we get to the other stuff? I think he'll enjoy that. That's enough. That's before she grabbed. Didn't she grab her crotch at some point there? I mean, that was just a disgrace.
She was plugging her ears. It was bad.
All right, child. I thought you would enjoy that, but let's get to Skeens. Is he going to face Aaron Judge or not?
I think so. I think my takeaway on that one is that the top of this AL lineup is too good for one of them to not get on. It was funny, I was able to chat with all four of those guys who are at the top of the lineup in Juan Soto, Gunnar Henderson, Stephen Kwan, and Aaron Judge. And, you know, they all had very different responses to the idea of facing Paul Skeens. But I thought Stephen Kwan, you know, fellow Bay Area guy, enjoyed chatting with him. But he had a fun little comment of, yeah, you know, maybe I have to wear one for the team, duck in and get hit by a pitch in order to make sure that Judge gets on base. But, they're all certainly looking forward to the challenge. Everybody's got different perspectives. Juan Soto has heard nothing but, you know, how good the fastball is. Gunnar Henderson doesn't have terribly much of a scouting report, but said, how can you not? He's on MLB Network every day the last 2 weeks. And Kwan, being a student of the game, is just really eager to get there in the box and see every one of his pitches and see what all the fuss is about. And, of course, Aaron Judge, that says enough on its own. This guy's one of the best hitters in baseball. And of the last decade, and that would just be something made for TV. Hopefully we get it. I think we do. I think somebody gets on, whether that's a walk, a hit, maybe a hit by a pitch if Stephen Kwan really wants to wear 102 in the back. I think Judge is going to get his shot. And from there, it's, you know, in those two competitors' hands of what's going to happen there.
Well, I think one of the things is, if I were Skeens, I probably would walk Juan Soto just to make sure I got to face Judge.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's a thought. It's an all-star game. I think that's the thing that we need to remember in all of this. It's easy to get lost in the idea of, hey, like, this is really serious, you know, how cool of a moment, like, to be able to showcase what he can do on this stage. But at the end of the day, this is an exhibition. Let's not take ourselves too seriously. And, you know, I don't think you want to do a disgrace to the game. I don't think you want to do anything like that. But if it means an intentional walk for the opportunity to face the guy, sure. I mean, it's not like this game holds the significance of the past where, you know, whichever winning league that team held home field advantage in the World Series, you know, maybe that added some allure to it in past years. But to me, this is fun. Enjoy it. Showcase the game the best way you can. And I think it would really be a missed opportunity if we don't get a chance to see Paul Skeens face Aaron Judge, because, I mean, that story writes itself, right?
I mean, that's what the entire baseball universe wants to see. It would be ridiculous if we didn't get to see it. But let's get to the Pirates. At an even 500 here, headed into the All-Star break, is that ahead of where you would have had them, or behind, or right on target?
A little bit. I would say that maybe that's just a byproduct of a strong finish to it, and you know, the blessing of being able to play the Chicago White Sox. But, you know, give credit where it's due, right? They took 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. I've been pretty steadfast about this being a team that I think is going to finish the year a few games underneath 500. They've probably exceeded expectations in the way that they've played in July, the way that they finished out June. Call it the Paul Skeens effect. Call it Brian Reynolds really picking up his game and being one of the most consistent and, you know, best hitters in baseball from about June 1st onward. Like, those two guys, A, they're a reason they're all-stars, and B, without them, this Pirates team's not in contention. Like, Reynolds has been a top 10, top 20 hitter in baseball, or at the very least in the National League. We all know what Paul Skeens has done. I think you got to give credit to those two guys. Certainly, you can point out other supporting cast characters. Mitch Keller has been very solid. Jared Jones, when he was healthy, was very solid. O'Neill Cruz has ebbed and flowed. The rest of the lineup certainly has been mediocre at best at times. But I think the way that you have to look at this is those two guys, the two all-stars, they're playing like it. They deserve to be it. And without them, this team, it's hard for me to really grasp where the Pirates would be without them. So, yeah, I think they're a little ahead of where I thought they'd be at this point.
If you look at after the all-star break, though, they've got a really a tough stretch of games. If you really think about where they what they have to do. But I mean, they got the Phillies, and then they got Cardinals. Then they got, I think, Arizona, who, you know, for whatever you want to say about them, they played really well of late, and they are over 500. And then I think they have the Padres and the Dodgers.
Right.
So,
yeah,
we'll have a really good idea probably 12 to 15 games into the second part of the, you know, after the All-Star break about where this team really is going to go.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's a good point, Paul, is that the schedule, you know, I'm going to use a hockey term here, or hockey phrase here, but let the team show you what they are. Like, I think that's exactly what this is going to be with the Pirates. Like, if they come out storming out of the gate and you host the Phillies and the Cardinals and you take 4 out of 6 or however, or four, you know, however many games it is, if you do that and then you go on the road and play, you know, a solid Diamondbacks team that's underperformed, and you play an Astros team that's very solid and is underperformed, if you're able to do well in those 4 series, it's going to be really difficult to do anything other than say, hey, you should buy with this team, or at the very least, add a piece.
Haven't they already shown that, Andrew? I mean, to be fair to them, the players, and they've shown it without the GM helping them. Why do they have to continue to try to prove to this GM that they need help? They are what they are. They're in the playoff race. They had a great finish to the first half. They're at 500. They have a top of the rotation that I think is the envy of most of baseball at this point. I don't think it's fair that they should have to come out and continue to prove something to a GM who won't help them.
I think you have to prove it because you have some injuries. Jared Jones is not going to be coming back for at least several more weeks. That's where I'm hung up on. I don't think it's the team-wide picture at large, and maybe it's too simplistic and, you know, narrow of me to say, oh, well, because Jared Jones is hurt, that the team should or shouldn't buy. I say all of that to say that these next couple of weeks, I think, are going to demonstrate what the course of action is in specifics. I think we have an idea of how they're going to proceed, but I say all that to say, okay, the top end of the rotation is very good, but how does that back end look? Is Luis Ortiz a guy that you can rely on? Is Marco Gonzalez going to be healthy the rest of the way? Are you okay with Martin Perez continuing to get a turn every 5th start? Is Quinn Priester going to be a guy up here? I think the bigger question is, do they go out in search of more starting pitching help, or is it strictly going to be on the offensive side where you get an outfield bat? I think that's the number one priority, maybe a corner infielder. I think these next couple of weeks, it's not so much about wins and losses. It's about getting an idea of this current team in its current state without Bailey Falter, without Jared Jones. How are they going to proceed? What areas of need do they think that they have, or do they think that guys internally who are injured or in the minor leagues can come up and be those forms of retooling?
Well, I think that's going to be now the next question is, what are they going to be willing to give up to retool? That's the number one question that everybody has. And, you know, as I've said many times, the standard operating procedure has been giving up any prospects is too much. So at some point, you're going to have to give up some of these prospects, and you're going to have to give up something real if you want to get real return.
Right. And I think that the way that I would proceed, this is me more speculating and putting on my GM cap, the only player that I would not trade, and I'll add a caveat there, unless it was for a true superstar, a guy with club control, would be Bubba Chandler. He is the only guy in the system that I personally would not trade. I think he's a guy who can help next year. I don't think he's a guy who can help this year, but that's more a matter of the Pirates being careful and being cognizant of his development. I think Bubba Chandler has the potential to be as good as Jared Jones, if not better. He could be the number two to Paul Skenes for years to come. Like, he is the guy that I am not willing to give up on. That being said, everybody else in my mind is expendable. That includes Tamar Johnson, who I really like, but I, you know, in talking to various people, there's a fear that his full potential will not be reached unless he goes outside of the organization because of the issues that the Pirates have had developing hitters. So that makes him, A, a little bit more expendable on the Pirates side, and B, desirable for other teams because they think there's more in the tank there. They think they can bring out the best in him, and because he's got that pedigree as a former top five pick just 2 years ago. So I think everybody should be on the table. And to circle back to the Bubba Chandler point, you know, obviously him being excluded, I would only be willing to give him up if you were able to get a club controllable guy who is a borderline all-star or all-star caliber player that has 2 years of club control remaining. Like, that's the only scenario in which you give up a Bubba Chandler. And I think it's got to be a higher pedigree of a player than, like, a Jazz Chisholm, who, like, I really like. He's interesting. He's got tools. Like, when he's healthy, he produces. But Bubba Chandler is the guy that I'm not willing to part with.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I actually agree with you on that, Destiny's Child. We're talking to Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette. He's in Arlington, covering the All-Star game. So let me ask you this. We had a topic yesterday. Paul Skenes right now is, I think, in terms of like Q rating, the hottest athlete maybe in pro sports, like mainstream American sports right now. What's it like in Texas with this guy? Do you get a sense of Skenes mania there?
Yeah, I would say a little bit. And I would say that, you know, I'll relate it back to the media perspective just from yesterday with all the players being available. I think that when you're talking about national stories, national spotlight of what guys are asking about, like all the reporters who are here covering each of their 30 teams, like they're going to, you know, ask individual questions about, hey, where's this team going to go in the second half? Where are they looking to add? Do guys think that they can build off a strong first half, et cetera, et cetera? But when you think about it from a national level, or what all these guys are asking about, you know, everybody wants to talk about Paul Skenes, whether that's a Yankees reporter, a Dodgers reporter, whoever it may be. Like, Paul Skenes is the national overall encompassing story that we're seeing here in Arlington. And frankly, it's warranted, right? I mean, this guy has had as good of a rookie season or start to an MLB career as any pitcher that I can think of in recent memory. He's earned this opportunity to be here. He's earned certainly to start the All-Star game. And I think that opinion is reiterated by everybody who's here. These hitters, these pitchers, guys like Bryce Harper are saying, yeah, he's going to be here for the next 10, 15 years of my career fighting against me in the batter's box. Aaron Judge was like, yeah, it's going to be really cool going up against him in his first All-Star game start. It's not the last. Like, this guy's going to have a few more. So, and it's not just the players. It's the overall environment. It's you walk around Arlington, you're around this, you know, ballpark village or whatever you want to call it. You see Skenes jerseys. People are talking about the guy. I've got, you know, people texting me who are the mildest of baseball fans, if you even want to call them that, and they know who Paul Skenes is, whether that's through social media or whatever it may be. So he's the story of the All-Star game, and I think it's 100% warranted.
I think the other thing that's interesting is I was reading that they basically that the Pirates made it very clear that he's got a limit tonight. Correct?
Yes, I would imagine that's on the Pirates side, but I think that's also just out of respect for the game itself. Of like, in, you know, in prior years, Pedro Martinez went two innings, but in the way the All-Star game is structured now, like, I see no issue with, hey, let nine pitchers pitch nine innings, let each one of them get a go. So, I mean, the understanding is that Paul is only going to go one inning, but I can't say with certainty whether that's, you know, a Pirates directive or something like that. I think that's more just out of fairness to the game and giving everybody a shot.
Well, I think one of the things that, I asked Joe is, what happens if, like, he goes through the first three guys really quickly? Could they bring him out for one more batter just so he faces Judge?
I mean, possibly. Torey Lovello kind of shut down that notion yesterday. The National League manager, when asked about as much of, hey, if it's a really quick inning, could we see him come back out for the second? But it was more in general to the idea of him coming back out for the second entirely, not so much just to face Aaron Judge. So I'm not ruling out that idea by any means. I'm not counting on it, but if he, yeah, mows him down 1, 2, 3 in seven pitches, sure, maybe we see Paul Skenes get back out there to face Aaron Judge. But then, I don't know, to me that just feels like slightly anticlimactic of, hey, he's going to lead off an inning and then you pull him arbitrarily because he faced Judge. I mean, maybe I'm being a little, self-critical there just because it isn't an All-Star game. It's an exhibition. That doesn't really matter when a guy comes in or comes out, but I think there's something to be said about the flow of how this kind of all goes along with the All-Star game, whoever's going to come in to follow him after. So I would say much more likely that he faces Judge in the first inning with somebody aboard versus they trot him back out there for the second inning to just face him and then sit him down. I feel like if he's back out there, maybe they want to just go the whole second inning, but I'm not banking on it.
You said it feels slightly contrived if that would happen. I missed the word that you said there.
Yes, a little bit. Like, it just feels contrived. Just the idea of it'd be forced.
Yeah, but it's a moment that I would force. I mean, I'll be honest, Andrew. I think that the baseball world doesn't really give a crap about this game. I don't even think the players give a crap about this game. Everybody's waiting for one moment, and that's Skenes against Judge. This is not a game. This is about a moment, and that's the moment. And that needs to happen by whatever means necessary. Do you disagree with that?
I would agree with it by any means necessary. It's more just I think they've already put themselves behind the eight ball by putting Judge in the four hole. Like, I never would have done that. I wouldn't have allowed that to be the way it transpired. And I don't know if that's Bruce Bochy's call. I don't know if that's Aaron Judge's call, if that's Major League Baseball. I don't know what the decision was there, but to me, the obvious answer here was put Aaron Judge in the three hole. Either it's an opportunity with two on, nobody out, or somebody on, one out, or, hey, this is the final at-bat of the inning, and Skenes strikes him out swinging, and the place erupts. Like, that would have been so perfect. But to me, it's like, they're either going to try to force it, where it's, okay, he goes 1, 2, 3, and then Judge comes back out, and it's this anticlimactic strikeout or flyout or something like that, and then it ends, you know, the first batter, and they pull him out. Like, I don't really love that idea either. I mean, it's an All-Star game. It's an exhibition. Why not set it up in a way so that Judge was in your three hole, so that he was guaranteed to see Skenes, and we didn't have to have these kinds of conversations? Or maybe that was their intention entirely, to bring more attention to it and say, hey, it's not a guarantee. Tune in to see if it happens. I don't know. To me, it just feels like if it doesn't happen, which I'm not ruling out, there's entirely a possibility that it doesn't happen. What a missed opportunity that would be for Major League Baseball.
Well, I think for the other part of it is Joe makes a really good point. I don't know about you, but after the first inning, I will actually is the American League who's the home team?
Ooh, should be, if memory serves me correct, American League should be the home team, given they're the host team.
Okay, so if the American League is the host, if they're the home team, that means I got to watch the whole entire first inning. I was hoping that they were the American League was the away team, so I only had to watch the first half inning, and then I'll turn it off.
Well, to each their own. I mean, it is the All-Star game. It gets ratings, but I don't think you'd be alone in that, Paul. I mean, that's how, and that's part of the reason why I argued for this a little while back and was you know, probably rightfully not listened to. Not sure that anybody was listening to my opinions on that one anyway, but of maybe Paul Skene shouldn't start the All-Star game, that you could delay it a couple of innings to make sure that more people watch it longer. And there's a little bit of uncertainty of when he's going to come into the game, and you could, you know, hide it a little bit, whether that would have been Chris Sale starting or something like that. But of course he ended up pitching earlier and wasn't going to be on schedule to throw here. So yeah, I mean, hey, there's a reason he's starting this thing off. He's earned it, certainly. And it's going to be a made for TV event whenever he does take that mound to start this thing off. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of TVs, people reach for the clicker to turn it off or at least switch the channel after that first inning.
Paul, may I engage Destiny's Child in a game of free association?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Child. What are we looking at here? Are they going to skip starts with Skene's down the stretch, the Pirates?
No.
Wow. Are they going to go to a six-man rotation?
Possibly.
Okay. Hold off on the game here, because I think most people believe, as this guy is going to cruise past his career high in innings at any level, that they're going to skip some starts. Why do you say no? Has Charrington given you an indication he's just going to continue to take his regular turn?
No, it's more so that when you look at the volume of what he put forth last year at LSU, and you combine that with the idea that they've already done little things like, you know, push back a start to 6 or 7 days of rest versus 4 or 5, like that's allowed it to lengthen out a little bit. So sure, I guess maybe I'll backtrack on my answer just a little bit and say, sure, he could skip a start or two starts, but I don't think it's going to be this egregious thing where we don't see Paul Skene's pitch for 12, 13 days at a time. I think it's more they have the ability with the rotation they have to push it back, make it a 6 or 7 day rest period, and go from there. And, you know, he's a little bit, you know, bigger build than Jared Jones. We'll call a spade a spade. Like, Jones had a start skipped, but he's, you know, a slighter frame, a smaller guy. Skene's is able to handle this workload, and, you know, that's no secret. So I would say that, yeah, or two get skipped, but I'm not expecting that to be some imminent thing by any means. But I guess we'll have to see.
Back to the game. When will Jared Jones pitch again?
I will say August 14th.
Holy horse milk. So this is a little bit more than maybe what people thought?
It's not terribly serious. It's just that they went with putting him on no throw. They naturally have to ramp him back up. He might have to make a rehab start or two. So it's just going to be a little bit longer. It's not a serious thing. It's just going to take some time.
Pirates will make the playoffs.
No.
Breakout Pirate for the second half.
Ooh, Jack Suwinski.
Pirate whose numbers will decline in the second half.
Brian Reynolds.
Ryan Borecki will be back when?
I'll say a week from now.
Pirates bullpen's the best in the National League.
No.
Who's better?
I like the Cardinals. I like the Cubs.
All-Star Game MVP.
Give me Aaron Judge. Easy answer.
Pirates trade Aroldis Chapman for a bat.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you very kindly, Destiny's Child. This was a landmark appearance today.
Landmark. Wow, I'm honored. No, it's always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great coverage from the All-Star Game. Enjoy the game, man.
Will do. First for me. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks as always.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.